put this on. Memorial Day, what a blessing. Thank God for the men and women that sacrificed. All right, Genesis chapter 2. I want you to look at Genesis 2:11. You know, when it starts out in the Bible, usually something, whenever Genesis, when it starts out in Genesis, it usually sets the pace for the rest of the Bible. And Genesis chapter 2, God's made the heaven and the earth and so on, and he's made all the things. And the Bible says in verse 11, actually back up to verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. Talk about, Reese was looking at a book this week, and it had, you know, it was just a book about, you know, man and stuff like that, about man's machinery and stuff like that. And right in one of the pages, it had a monkey, and it shows, you know, the evolution of you know, man. It shows from a monkey all the way up to a man. And we have sitting next to me, and we're looking at it. I said, that's a lie right there. He goes, that's a lie. I said, that's a lie. Because the Bible says God made man in his own image. That's a lie that they're trying to see how they try to throw that in on that book, you know, just showing about how man creates this and it does this. And then it threw that in there about evolution. But here the Bible says, and the Lord God made form man out of the dust of the ground, verse 8, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Notice that, a living soul. Now, you say, does animals have souls? The Bible says God made all living souls. They have souls, but they're not eternal because man was made in God's image. In Genesis chapter 5, you know, it says that God made Adam in his own image, but then Adam had children in his own image and after he fell. And but everything has, you know, body, soul, and spirit. Everything has it, even animals. But they don't have an eternal soul. They don't live forever. And the Bible says man became a living soul, a living soul. And the Lord God planted, and I'll say this, back up to this, whenever the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die in the Old Testament. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Why? Because your body and your soul was connected. After Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, and the Bible says he led captivity captive and so on, then when a man got saved, he said he cut that soul loose from that flesh so that flesh could not corrupt the soul. So your soul can't be touched. That's why you can't lose your salvation. Your soul can't be touched with sin. You're being cut loose. It's been cut loose. And the Bible says he performed a operation on you. And that's over, if you want to know where that's at, it's in Colossians chapter 2. And look, matter of fact, let's go there. This is not the one I want to talk about tonight, but let's go there since we're there talking about it. Colossians chapter 2, most of y'all know this, and it's elementary, basically, for a lot of Christians that have been around here and around Bible-believing churches. But God cut that soul loose from that flesh, so man could not, you can't corrupt your soul. That's why you're eternally saved. You're eternally secure. Colossians chapter 2. Let me go back to Colossians here. You're watching by live stream. Your soul is not, if you're saved, your soul is not connected to your flesh. That's why if a man's not saved, his soul ends up in hell. He goes to hell. His body goes to the ground. But then at the white throne judgment, the Lord brings up that body and white throne judgment, and then he casts both body and soul in hell. The Bible says this is the second death. Death and hell gets cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. But body and soul goes in. So look in Colossians chapter 2. If I get there. Colossians chapter 2. And it says in verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it says, we are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised. In Old Testament, a male was circumcised. Why? It was where the seed came from. Wherever the seed came from, God says, circumcise them Jews, and they were circumcised. You remember Jacob's boys killed a bunch of men after they were circumcised. They were hurting. They were laying around after they'd been circumcised, and they killed them because they lost strength. They didn't have the strength. But God said he circumcised us with a circumcision made without hands. And putting off, look what it says, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So when you got saved, when you asked Jesus Christ to save you, the Holy Ghost God came inside with the sword of the Spirit, and which is the Word of God, and he cut that soul loose from that flesh so you can't corrupt your soul. That's why you can't lose your salvation. And it says, buried with him in baptism. That's not water. That's baptized by the blood. Buried with him in baptism, where also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. A child, a male child is circumcised on the, usually they do it now, right, when he's born, the next day. But usually it said the eighth day they were circumcised. They keep infection down. And that's what it was for, keep the infection down. That's why circumcision was for a male, keep the infection out. And when God saved you and he circumcised you to keep the infection, keep you from being infected, your soul being infected, who hath raised him from the dead, you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespass. You know, most Christians don't know that. Most Christians you talk to, you ask them if they know about the circumcision made without hands. They don't know that. Most Christians, you go to a Bible, not all Bible-believing churches, but you go to churches that claim to be saved, they don't know that. They don't know nothing about the circumcision. They don't know nothing that God did an operation on you. And they don't know nothing about that. Let's go back to Genesis. All right, Genesis, living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food. Trees good for food. God said everything that, you know, grows in this garden is good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And so God put that all there. And also, here's another thing God did. In verse 10, and the river went out of Eden and watered the garden, and from hence was parted. For hence it was parted and became on the four heads. And the name of the first was Pison, which is, it's not poison, Pison. And then that verse 12, it says, and gold of that land is good. And it goes on back to verse 11. It says, the whole land of Heva, where there is what? Gold. God said, there's gold there. Gold is there in that land. So man, you know, what he bought with was gold. Silver, precious stones. That's what he bought and paid for. We used to have a gold standard in America. I guess we still do. We're printing money like crazy, trillions and trillions of dollars. But it used to be a gold standard. And, you know, countries that had gold, they, you know, that's how they dealt with. I think after Roosevelt, we got rid of the gold standard. I think that's what I've read. We got rid of the gold standard. But it tells you where the gold is. And I want to talk a little bit about gold tonight. Talk about a little bit about gold. You got goldsmith, you know, and all the way through the Bible. And man, there's so many scriptures on the gold that when they came out of the land of Egypt, God said, borrow from the Egyptians all the gold and all that stuff. And they did. They got all this gold. They got all this stuff. So they got out to the desert, and Moses go up in the mountain, and they had all this gold with them, earrings and all that stuff. And then Moses goes up there for about 40 days, and all of a sudden they said to Aaron, make us a god. We don't know what happened to this Moses. So they made a gold calf. They made a gold calf. They said, this is what's going to lead us back to Egypt. They had some Egyptians with them, and they're going to lead them back to Egypt. And because Egypt was wiped out. And they made, you know, this gold calf. And Moses comes down the mountain and destroys it. And destroys that thing, tears it apart, and rebukes Aaron. And but the Lord says, this is where gold is right here. And the gold standard. The devil wants God's gold. He wants to take God's gold. Now, this is a physical goal, but we're going to talk about a spiritual goal in a minute. But look in Exodus chapter 3. You got goldsmith that made things of gold. You got the gold beaters in the Bible. They beat the gold into thin strings. We have copper, you know, lines. And that copper is beat into gold string. Copper strings. And you got the stuff that can stretch it. And gold was stretched and it was beat. and you got the gold. You got the gold bricks, and you got gold diggers. Got gold diggers, and who's a gold digger? It's a woman, a gold digger. Then you got the Golden Gate. You got the Golden Eagle. You got the Golden Goose. But you know, the Golden Goose was just a fairy tale. But in Exodus chapter 3, we went out to San Francisco. We got to see the Golden Gate Bridge. There ain't no gold on that thing at all. Ain't none. That's the ugliest looking bridge I've ever seen. It's like red. It's you know, from a distance, it looks pretty. But man, and lit up at night, it looks nice. But it's ugly. And we rode across that bridge. And I said, that's all this is? I'm looking at that. I said, this stinks. The thing stinks. Look in Exodus chapter 3. I got a call from California today from a brother out there. And California ain't all what it's cracked up to be, or supposed to be. But in Exodus chapter 2, or I said 3, 322, every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, of her that sojourn in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. Ye shall put them upon your sons, upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So they leave Egypt, man, a high hand. They got all this gold. And the Egyptians were willing to give it to them. They said, yeah, here. They were afraid of Moses. They were afraid of all that. They said, here, take it. Even though Egypt had the upper hand for 400 years. And Egypt is a type of the world. And look in chapter 11. I always want you to see how many times gold, man, all the way through your Bible. And when they started building the Ark of the Covenant and all that stuff, man, it was all solid gold inside. 11, this is before they leave Egypt. And look at 11:2. It says, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in the sight of the Pharaoh's servants, for in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight. So they're getting ready. Chapter 12, you go into the night when the death angel passes by, and they had to put the blood on the doorpost. And then he says, you're a lamb. And then he says, the lamb. And then he says, your lamb. But okay, go to chapter 20. Go to chapter 20. You start getting up here and getting towards the law, which is in the law, and Exodus chapter 20. And look at verse 23. And the Lord says, and ye shall not make any with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. And he tells them, don't you make gods after the Ten Commandments. Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments and finds them making a god of gold. He finds that. And man killing each other over here, they're killing each other for gold and silver and precious stones. They kill each other for it. Go to Exodus 25. Man's killing each other for it. And the Lord told Adam and all of them, he told everybody that read the Bible where the gold was back there in Genesis. And gold becomes a valuable commodity. And gold is yellow. They got, you know, you talk about the fool's gold. People looking for gold, they find silver, or they find copper, or they find iron that's yellow, and they think that's real gold. And that's called fool's gold. And it's just fool's gold. But real gold, the Lord tells them, you're going to make everything out of pure gold. Pure gold. I mean, it's going to be made pure gold. Look at Exodus 25. I don't have time to go all these verses. There's so many of them. Verse 3. And in the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. And then it goes down. Look at verse 11. He says, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within, without. Thou shalt overlay it and shall make upon it a crown of gold around about. He's talking about the ark. Look at verse 10. And they shall make the ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half, and shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the length thereof. So that ark of the covenant was probably about the size of that Lord's Supper table right there. Maybe a little bit bigger right there, the Lord's Supper table right there. And they had to carry that thing. He says, overlay it with pure gold within, without. That thing, solid gold in there, pure gold. And so go down, look at verse 13. He says, and thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And look at verse 17. Thou shalt make a mercy seat, and of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work, shalt thou make them, and 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherubim of one end, and the other cherubim on the other end. Even the mercy seat shall ye make with shittim, the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof, and the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings and their faces, and look to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Thou shalt put this mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I give thee, and there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. So they put that ark of the covenant into the place that's called Holy of Holies. And God says, I'll meet there, and I'll stay there. So when a priest went in, he had gold on him. He had silver on him. He had all this stuff. And he went in there once a year. But at this time, as they make it, they're carrying the thing out in the open. And he says, carry the Ark of the Covenant. The priest went out to the water. And when they walked up to the water, all they did is put their feet in it. And the water went, phew. And then at times, you'll find that the Ark of the Covenant went out by itself. It floated out there. And the priest had to catch up with it. I mean, it went out there. It was a fire by night and a cloud by day. That thing went pure gold. Can you imagine the enemies of Israel on the side of the mountain looking at it going, my God, look at that. My God, look at that fire at night. Look at that cloud by day. I mean, ain't nobody can meet this God that they got here. And he's hanging over that mercy seat and that Ark of the Covenant. And man, he destroyed Egypt. He'd open up the Red Sea. I mean, he did all that stuff. They're going, man, there's no hope for us. But it's solid gold. I mean, gold. And all the way through your Bible, you'll find gold mentioned all the way through. Go to Exodus 26. Or Exodus 26 and verse 6. He says, thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 7 curtains shalt thou make. And the length of 1 curtain shall be 30 cubits in the breadth, and so on. And then down to verse 29, he goes, or 26, and thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the bounds of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle. And 28, in the middle of the bar, the midst of the board, shall reach from one end. And it says, thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. I mean, this thing was shining. Everything inside, when you walked inside that tabernacle was a covering that was in the wilderness. The temple was a secure place in Jerusalem. The temple was there when Solomon finally built it. But the tabernacle was a goat's hair, I mean a covering. They had to take it down, put it up, take it down, and they take the boards out, put boards up. I mean, it was solid gold. Everything was gold. I mean, when Hezekiah showed Nebuchadnezzar's princes, they came down from, they heard about Hezekiah being sick, and he showed them everything, the treasure, the money. I mean, we were in Jerusalem. The candlesticks were solid gold. In the middle of the square, we were standing out there. We got pictures standing next to the candlestick, and it's about this high. And the candlestick is right there, solid gold. Solid gold. I mean, man, that's when Hezekiah showed him everything. Nebuchadnezzar came down. The Bible says he melted some of that gold down. He cut it to pieces, and he cut it to silver. And the Bible says all the spoons, everything that was instruments in the temple was solid gold, all gold. And that's when they came down, they went, wow, look at all this gold. Look at this. Man. So they started taking it back they took it back. So when you find Nehemiah and Ezra, and you find them going back to Jerusalem, and the Medes and the Persians allowed them to take the cups. Remember, y'all read in Daniel chapter 5, you read about Belshazzar. He says, go get them cups they took out of Jerusalem, them gold cups. And we'll drink wine out to our God. That was his doom. So they're in there. They're in there in Daniel chapter 5. He's saying, and Daniel, they called Daniel and they said, the handwriting's on the wall. So they called Daniel in. They said, they're taking the cups that were in the temple. And they were drinking wine out of it, partying with it. God's things. They were dedicated to God. Solomon dedicated gold. People brought, the Queen of Sheba brought gold to Solomon. I mean, all this gold was coming. And man, it kept coming. And then Nebuchadnezzar, man, when he came down and saw, his princes saw all that gold, they said, man, we want some of this. We want this. The devil wants your gold. You know, the Bible talks about wisdom. It's look in Proverbs. We don't have time to get into everything. But look in Proverbs 16. Everybody's killing each other for gold down here. Proverbs 16. The Bible has a lot to say about gold. But then it spiritualizes. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is to get wisdom than what? Gold. To get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Say, getting wisdom and understanding is better than that. Better than silver and gold. Paul, Peter came by a man, and the guy was begging for alms and wanted to be healed. And Peter stood there and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto thee. And he grabbed the guy by the hand, and the guy leaped. He got healed. Silver and gold have I none. I mean, the Bible talks about, go to Proverbs 8. Look at Proverbs 8. So you got a book in your hand. You're sitting there. You got all the wisdom and the silver and the jewels you can imagine. It says, this is better than all that. I mean, the Bible talks about gold, silver, precious stone, and it says this is better, better than that. Proverbs 8, look at verse 10. It says, receiving my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. As back at verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. And it says, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride and arrogancy in the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. The Lord said, "Is this stuff, this is wisdom. And knowledge and understanding is better than the fruit of anything and better than gold and silver." And the Bible says favor is better, having favor with God is better than gold. Having favor, go to Proverbs 22. Having favor with God is better than gold. Now, here's a God in heaven that made the gold, knows where it's at. He knows exactly where it's at. You know what? I've read about, you know, Standard Oil. How many of y'all remember Standard Oil? This is back in the 20s and 30s, way back. Standard Oil. Standard Oil, the guy that owned Standard Oil was reading the Bible back in the, I mean, talking about, he was from the 18 to early 1900s. And this guy was reading the Bible, and he realized, he was reading his Bible, and he said, if they made Moses a ark out of bulrush, and they daubed it pitch. He said, where there's pitch, there's got to be gold. I mean, not gold, but oil. So he goes over to Arabia in that area and finds it. That's why the Arabs got oil. The guy reading the Bible found it there. Standard Oil. He reading the Bible, finds it. And the Arabs get rich from it. Well, actually, they felt bad by taking all the oil, so they shared it with the Arabs. Here we went to Saudi Arabia to help out with the Saudis because they Iraq set the oil fields on fire. Where we say 22, go to Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. How's your name? It says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, go to, like I said, the devil wants your gold. And go to Revelation. Go to Revelation. The reason why I started thinking about all this is because a verse. I'm going to show you the verse in a minute. I'll show you this verse. And there's so much scripture on gold. I'm telling you what, there's so much. I can't even cover it all. It'd be boring for y'all for to go through every verse. Revelation 21, verse 18. Revelation 21, 18. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was what? You know where that? That's your home. That's the home waiting on you. It's called Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. It says, the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto crystal glass. You know, the Bible says there's a sea of glass around God's throne. So right here it tells you it's clear as glass, solid gold. Man's killing each other down here for it. God makes the streets up there with it. The streets are solid gold. Look in Revelation 4. Revelation 4. Round about the throne, I like this, were 24 elders, 20 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in fine white linen, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Crowns, these are real people, the elders. You say, who are the 24 elders? Probably the 12 disciples and 12 patriarchs on the Old Testament. Probably 12 and 12, Old Testament, New Testament. Go to Revelation 3:18. And he tells the church, here we are, back up to 14, here we are in the Laodicean period, and the Lord says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. That's where we're at right now. We're in the Laodicean period. People are cold. Some are hot, but the Lord says, I'd rather for you be cold or hot. And a lot of people watching on, you're watching by live stream, you say, well, see, there are, God'd rather for me to be cold, so I just stay cold. No, that's stupid logic. That's stupid. He would rather for you be hot. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm, I don't, man, folks, the church age is lukewarm right now. And it makes God sick. But look at what he says. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased goods, have need of nothing. You know, during the Depression of the 1930s, nobody got really a bailout from the government. Here, everybody in this room, you got a check. I got a check from the government. And man, you're talking about trillions of dollars that was spent. How, somebody's got to pay it back. Nobody got that. There was food, soup lines and all kinds of stuff in America. But man, we're blessed. We're rich. We have need of nothing, even with the COVID-19. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increase of goods and have need of nothing, and knowest thou not that thou art miserable, wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee, buy of me gold. How can you buy gold from God? Tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness. God says, buy of me gold. How are you going to buy it? The American dollar ain't going to buy it. How are you going to buy it? How are you going to buy gold from God? The Lord says, I counsel thee, buy gold from me. Go to 1 Peter. You don't know how you get it? You get gold by faith, by your faith in God. The Lord said to the disciples, said, shall I find faith on the earth when I come? He tells that church of Laodicea, which we're living in, he said, you better get some gold because you're blind, naked, and poor, miserable. He says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, he said, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes. Though it be tried with fire, notice he said back in Revelation, gold tried in the fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, the way you buy gold from God is by keeping your faith in God. When things go wrong, trust in him. Keeping your faith in him. You know what happens? A lot of Christians, they get saved, they start building their faith and get gold, and all of a sudden, they turn their back on him. They walk away. And this is the verse that made me think about it. We don't have all the, I don't have time to do all the verses. Look in Lamentations. I've been reading through Jeremiah, Lamentations. This is the verse that made me think about it. When our house burnt down, all the things that happened in our life, we just said, well, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to trust you, Lord. We're going to trust you. I know God knows what he's doing. I don't. You don't. God knows what he's doing. And every trial we've had to trust him. And the Lord says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. But then Jeremiah is telling Israel they're getting ready to go into captivity and this and this and that. And Israel doesn't want to hear it. And Ezekiel, you know, let me go back to Lamentations. Ezekiel is another one. But Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because every time he prophesies to them, they start beating him and all that stuff. But it's called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Is Lamentations. Go to Lamentations chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Man, this thing hit me like a ton of bricks. How has the gold become dim? What happens to a Christian? They get on fire for God. They get going for God. And they go through some trials. They pass the trials. They're building up some gold in their life through their faith. They're getting some gold in their life. Man, there's this, you know, because of why? You say, at the judgment seat of Christ is when you're going to be rewarded. And are you going to have anything to give back to him? And it says, you know, out of that, what you've done in this life is going to produce a crown. The Bible says those 420 elders had crowns of gold on their head. And what you've done through their life is going to turn into a crown that you can cast back at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, you're the one. You're the one that did it. You helped me. You took care of me. Through all the trials, God, you were there. You helped me. It's you. You're worthy. I give you praise. Can you imagine all the Christians there casting their crowns at his feet and you're going, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. How's the gold become dim? How is it the most fine gold changed? Some people are going to have fool's gold. They think they got some gold. Just going to be fool's gold. Wood, hay, and stubble. Judgment seat of Christ. He says, the stones of the sanctuary are poured out into the tops of the streets, every street. Jeremiah is telling them this is going to happen. Look at this. And the precious sons of Zion, compared to fine gold. Here he says, these precious sons of Zion were compared to fine gold. You know what I think? I'll tell you what I think. I believe a Christian that's living for God, to God says, I tell you what, I think they're fine gold. And they got some rewards, and I'm going to put a crown on their head, a crown of gold. How has the gold become dim? it becomes dim when you live for God so long and then you say, you know why it's dim? It's because you haven't cared for it. You haven't built upon it. You walk away from the Lord and you say, well, I've served God for 5 years and all of a sudden you got 50 years ahead of you and your gold is dim. You haven't cared for it. You haven't built upon it. You haven't done anything with it. And a Christian that's living for God, God says, the precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold. The Lord tells them in Genesis where they can find the gold. And gold all the way through the Bible, the tabernacle, in heaven, you're going to walk on gold. I mean, man, you're going to have crowns of gold. At least I hope we will. I hope Faith Baptist Church, if they separate us as a church, I hope we got some gold we can cast back. The devil wants to get your gold. He wants to steal your gold. I mean, man, you know what? Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of what? Silver. The Bible says that the judgment seat of Christ, look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. We'll close with this. For other foundations, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3:11. See, most Christians don't even think about it. They don't think about, all they can think about, how can I get rich on this earth? And you'll be poor in heaven. You won't have nothing up there. All I can think about is I want to be rich on this planet so I can live good. God will take care of you. But all they can think about, I want to make money. I want to be somebody on this planet, which this planet could care less about you. And the Bible says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. How do you do that? By faith, by souls, by people, the way you live, your testimony. God said, they're fine sons of Zion, my children. Fine gold. 1 Corinthians 3. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And the whole foundation is Jesus Christ. We know that. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, see, God's the foundation. He said, so you got saved. Here's your foundation. Now you build it. Build upon it. You build upon it. Now, Sam Gipp believes that Your mansion in heaven is going to be your body, part of your body, what you do for Jesus Christ. I don't know about that. I don't know how all that's going to work. I don't. But it says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. There's that fire again. Jesus said, I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire. And then he says, your faith is much more precious than of gold tried in the fire. Every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, and he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then it tells you, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says, know ye not that your body, that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So you think the devil wants to destroy or steal your gold? Yes, he does. We're going through a little trial. Down here, just a little team thing. Ain't much to it. How's your faith? How's your faith? We could go through a lot more on that. I hope that makes you think. Keeps you sober-minded. It should keep you sober-minded. God tells him back in Genesis, where the gold is, it's precious, physical gold. But then he says, here's the spiritual gold that's more precious. You can have all the money down here, all the gold you want down here, and if you haven't lived for God, you're going to be bankrupt in heaven. All right, Ken, come on, brother. Take up the prayer request real quick.